sing L'chadoidi on Friday night, we refer to Yerushalayim with its double role. We refer to it as Migdash Melech Ir Melucha. It's Alpidin Amakam Amigdash, and it's also Alpidin, the capital of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara learns that from the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, I think, when you want to build the Beis Hamikdash, you have to build Hamakam Shiv Hashem Yichol Shiv Teichem. The Beis Hamikdash has to be built in a location that belongs to all of the Shvatim. So the Gemara has a machlokes Aparoim. How did that happen exactly? So it's a historical machlokes and a halachic machlokes. So we paskin, it's a chunk of history. We paskin on history, we paskin on the halacha. We assume Yerushalayim lo nitzchalka l'shvatim. When Yeshua ben Nun divided Eretz Yisrael l'shvatim, so Yerushalayim was never divided l'shvatim. And Eretz Yisrael belonged to all of Klal Yisrael as a whole. So Yerushalayim was never nitzchalka l'shvatim, so it remained in the ownership of Amakim Hashem, Mikol Shivtechem. The other Tanas of the opinion, no, they were Mechalak Yerushalayim, half of it was Shevet Yehuda, half was Shevet Binyamin. And then in order to fulfill the din of the Kol Shev Techem, so they collected money for all of the Shvatim and they bought up that location. So that's, the Gemara has a machlekes exactly what was Lenis Chalka L'Shvatim. So we assume the whole Yerushalayim Lenis Chalka L'Shvatim. And the other Tana who says that it was Lenis Chalka L'Shvatim, but they just collected money and they bought it back, all the Shvatim bought it up, so then they only had to buy up that location where the Beis HaMikdash is, not the entire city of Yerushalayim. But Yerushalayim, from the very outset, from the days of Kibush Haaretz and the days of Yeshua ben Nun, we assume it was already, the whole city was established as the Makom Shiv Hashem, Mikol Shiv Techem. Al Pidin Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael. The American Congress doesn't yet recognize it as such, but it doesn't matter. The Halacha says, the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Malachim, he quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi, that Al Pidin Yerushalayim is the official capital of Eretz Yisrael. When you have the official government, when you have a Malchus Beis David, that's the official government. So they're supposed to have their offices, their palace, their throne is supposed to be in Yerushalayim. Other governments other than Malchus Beis David are not supposed to use Yerushalayim as the capital. That's why some say jokingly and maybe correctly that the government in America doesn't want the Israeli government to violate the din. So they don't recognize Yerushalayim as the capital because it's not the Malchus Beis David. Okay, maybe it is correct, but Al Pidin Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says in Shavuos in the second Perek that during the period of Vayishene they added on certain areas to Yerushalayim, and Al Pidin it was never in his Kaddish. You're not allowed to eat either Maisisheni or Kol Shemekalim in that additional area. So why did they add it on? So the Gemara says for security purposes, because the soldiers will be Moshe Nefesh more to fight to preserve the capital than to preserve a little city. So they declared all of this is an extension of Yerushalayim for security purposes. So the soldiers will be fighting harder at that location. One of the three kriyas that we ripped that they made at Takana, Hilchas Tisha B'Av, you have, there's a takana you have to rip kriya if you see the Makom HaMikdash b'chorbana, if you see Yerushalayim b'chorbana, and if you see Ar Yehuda b'chorbana. So the question is, Yerushalayim b'chorbana, is that b'toras that the Medina was destroyed? Yerushalayim is the capital, so it's no longer the capital. Yerushalayim b'chorbana means it's no longer the capital of Medina, Israel. But once Yerushalayim is the capital, even if there's no Beis HaMikdash, then it's Yerushalayim b'binyana. Or should we assume, no, that Yerushalayim b'chorbana means that the Kol Zman the Beis HaMikdash is in a state of churban, so Yerushalayim is b'chorbana. He can't eat any korban Pesach, he can't eat any kachim kalim in Yerushalayim because it's not Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah Brura quotes the Pasuk Mosei that Yerushalayim, the ripping kri Yerushalayim b'chorbana is because Yerushalayim is the Ir HaBira, it's the capital. It means that there's no Medina Yisrael. But if you have a Medina right after Melchemet Sheshet Hayamim, they took over Yerushalayim, they put some of the government offices there. Within a week, they had some of the government offices there. So then officially they declared Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael. So then according to the Mishnah Berurah, there wouldn't be any Kriya, because Manazah and Yerushalayim b'chorbana. Rav Soloveitchik thought, and others think like that also, not like the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, he thought that Yerushalayim b'chorbana is Kol Zman that there's no Beis HaMikdash. So the whole Yerushalayim is considered b'chorban up until a build the Beis HaMikdash. Or Yehuda b'Chorbanim, that the Magen Avraham quotes the Pesukim who say, or Yehuda b'Chorbanim depends whether it's under Jewish control, which government is controlling or Yehuda. So if it's under Jewish control, Jewish government, then it's called Binyanim. And if it's under Goyish control, even if it's a city that's called Yehudim, if it's under Goyish control, then it's considered or Yehuda b'Chorbanim. So I remember when... They gave over one of the cities in Eretz Yehuda to the... Where's Kibbutz Rachel located? They gave over Beit Lechem to the Palestinian Authority. So the chief rabbi, I think, was Ramat Chalio, I think. So he said, based on the Shulchan Aruch, now you have to rip Kriya when you visit Beit Lechem because it's under Goyish control. So they went wild. He's taking a political stand. He wasn't taking a political stand, just saying the Magen Avraham says it's under Jewish control, that is Binyanim. It's under Goyish control, it's called Bichorbanim. He's just saying over what it says in Shulchan Aruch. He didn't mean he ripped Kriya over the fact that they gave it over to the Palestinian Authority. He said now it's considered Bichorbanim. So when one visits Beis Lechem, it's all Yehuda Bichorbanim. Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda Cook was of the opinion that after the Mechamet Sheshet Hayamim, and the Makam HaMikdash was officially under Jewish control, so the Beis HaMikdash is called Bibinyon. It was under Jewish control. The Magen Avraham says that's the definition of our Yehuda B'Chorbanim versus Bibinyon. Depends, is it under Jewish control or non-Jewish control? So Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook had a Chiddush. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that was utterly ridiculous. Beis HaMikdash B'Chorbanim is not Beis HaMikdash. What does it have to do? Whose control? Our Yehuda B'Chorbanim versus Bibinyon. That depends on which government is controlling. But Beis HaMikdash B'Chorbanim means if the Beis HaMikdash, it's not Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash B'Chorbanim. So when I quoted Rav Soloveitchik in one of my Svarim, so I didn't want to say Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook, and I'm going to disagree with him, say Rav Soloveitchik. I said, one of the young rabbis from the Dati Yumi camp said like this. So one of the people from Merkaz Arab met me in there, so he said, not a young rabbi. I said, Yehuda Cook said like that. So I said, I know, but I didn't want to be mavazin, because I quoted Rav Soloveitchik, thought that it was utterly ridiculous. Beis HaMikdash B'Chorbanim means, not Beis HaMikdash. What does it matter who's in control of the Mokam HaChoriv? If it's a Choriv, it's Choriv. The Mishnah in the first parak in Kelim has Esek Kedusha Saint, there are 10 levels of Kedusha. So it says, Arizam the Kodesh has been called Harotza, Shemivim, Emenu Ha'omer, Eshtei Alechem. Then Hayorizam Bekof Ischaimah have a higher level of Kedusha, and Yerushalayim has a higher level of Kedusha, and the Harabais has a higher level of Kedusha. And Atar, the whole Harabais is one. And with the Rabbanah, they divided Harabais into three different parts. Then you go, the Azorah, and then Hechel, Kodesh HaKadoshim, Ulam, the 10 different steps. So Rabbi Menachem Zember, who was killed by the Nazis, Rabbi Menachem Zember had a friend. He was a businessman. Rabbi Menachem Zember was a businessman. He had a whole... He was from the Polish Goyim. He was a Bucky, unbelievable. A Goyim, a Bucky, everything. And he had a whole chabura of people who were businessmen. And they knew all the Bablis, Yerushalmis, all the Orsamechs, all the Ragachavis. They knew Kol HaTarakula. So one of his friends, who was a businessman, put out the Sifrei Zuta on Bamidbar. So he sent it to Rabbi Menachem Zemer, and he asked maybe he'll add some he'oris. So he sent him a kuntras, a 100-page kuntras, just like this, on the opening section in the Sifrei Zuta, because it begins with that brisa of Esek Dushas Hay. It's exactly identical to the Mishnah in Kalim, but there's slight differences here and there. So he has a 100-page kuntras on the Shinuyim. What is it all about? So on the opening Mishnah, he has a comment that Rav Soloveitchik said the same. I don't think Rav Soloveitchik saw it there. I don't think Rav Soloveitchik probably didn't even know about this. The Oitzah HaSifrei, what Rav Menachem Zemer wrote. So why does the Mishnah say, Eretz Yisrael B'Kodesh is called HaRotzeis, Shemivim Emenu Ha'omer Eshtei Alechem. They picked on such an obscure halacha that if you ask anybody, no one ever heard of that then. Ha'omer Eshtei Alechem has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to other menachas. You can use grain that grew anywhere in the world. Special din. Why didn't they say Eretz HaMikdash? They call Haratzah. Said Yechayv and Chumas Maishas and Shmita V'Yovel Leket Shikrapeya. The dinim that are normal that the yeshiva bachim do know. Why they pick on these dinim that no one ever heard? So Menachem Zemer explains. No, the Mishnah. That's Kedusha Sa'oret. The Mishnah is trying to say that there are 10 levels in Kedusha HaMikdash. As a Kedusha saying. So the Mishnah wants to say that the ikra of the Kedushas HaMikdash is the Kodesh HaKadosh and Bein Abadim. That's the ikra of Kedushas HaMikdash. And as you go further out, as you go out and you go further out, so it's, the Kedushas HaMikdash gets less and less. So the Heichal has less Kedusha than the Kodesh HaKadosh. And the Azar has, Bein Hulam Alam Mizbech has less Kedusha, and the rest of the Azar has less Kedusha, and Ezra's Yisrael has less Kedusha, and then Ezra's Kohanim. The Rabbanim is a different thing, Ezra's Kohanim and Ezra's Yisrael. The further out you go, so the less Kedusha it has. But the Mishnah starts off the other way. Eretz Yisrael B'Kodesh is B'Kol HaRetz. All of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedusha HaRetz. Has a lower level of Kedusha HaMikdash. How can you prove that it has a lower level of Kedusha HaMikdash? Maybe it has Kedusha HaRetz. Maybe it has nothing to do with Kedusha HaMikdash. So the Mishnah quotes this obscure halacha. The Omer Shteh Lechem has to have grown in the Beis HaMikdash. But you can't plant Omer Shteh Lechem in the Beis HaMikdash. They don't let you plant things there. So if you grow it anywhere, if you grew anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, it's considered, with respect to this din, it's considered as if it grew in the Beis HaMikdash. You can't quote, you can't say Eretz Yisrael Mekodesh is Bekol HaRotz, is it Eretz Yisrael Chayv and Shulmas HaMaisis and Shemitah V'yovel and Lachit Chikhapeya. That has nothing to do with Kedusha HaMikdash. That's because Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha HaRotz. That doesn't demonstrate, doesn't, it's not a haychocha that it has a lower level of kedushas hamikdash. So those are the two girsis. The Vilna Gaon, I think the Mishnah says shemimena ha'imer shteilach ma'habikurim. So the Vilna Gaon crosses out bikurim. So why does it cross out bikurim? In the Oitzar, in the Sifrei Zuta, I think it doesn't say bikurim. That's one of the shinuim. What the Vilna Gaon cross out Bikurim? It's true. You only bring Bikurim if it grew in Eretz Yisrael. There's no Bikurim Chutz L'Eretz. So that's Rav Menachem Zenbe explained. Rav Soloveitchik said the same, exactly the same. There's a Tosis in Bava Basra Pei Aleph where Tosis has two days where the Bikurim is considered mitzvah satliyas b'aretz. Is it considered an agricultural mitzvah like leket shikhepe chumas and maizah shmita v'yoyvel? Then it doesn't belong in the Mishnah. It doesn't belong in the Mishnah. Or should I say no, that it's not from the mitzvah satluyas ba'aretz, and the reason why Bikurim is only in Eretz Yisrael, because all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedusha HaMikdash. So the Rav Menachem Zemer thinks that the two girsas, whether it should say Bikurim or not, depends on the two opinions and tesis. If it's an agricultural mitzvah satluyas ba'aretz, it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. It's not because Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedusha HaMikdash. Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha HaMikdash. One of the dinim we learn when Shlomo HaMelech finished building the Beis HaMikdash, he offered the beautiful tefillah. And in the tefillah Shlomo, I don't think he says a word about bringing korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. He just says it about davening. He built the Beis HaMikdash that everyone should come, Jews and non-Jews, everyone should come to the Beis HaMikdash and offer their tefillahs. And if there's a famine, and if there's an epidemic, and if there's a flood, and if there's a war, and if a major tzara, or if there's a minor tzara, I have a machlekes with my next door neighbor. So whoever wants to offer a tefillah should come to the Beis HaMikdash and offer the tefillahs. So the Gemara Brachas points out that Shlomo HaMelech uses a loshon three times. Vispalo alecho, they should come to David in the Beis HaMikdash. Then he has three more loshons. Vispalo alecho derech habayis hazeh. Vispalo alecho derech ha'ir hazaz. Vispalo alecho derech ha'artzom. So the Gemara says, the best thing is to go into the Beis HaMikdash and to daven. If for some reason or another you can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, you should daven Ispal Alecha Derech HaBayis HaZeh. You should face the Beis HaMikdash. If you're outside of Yerushalayim, then you don't have to daven to face the Beis HaMikdash. Face Yerushalayim. Even if you know that you're facing Yerushalayim, you're not really facing the direction where the Beis HaMikdash is. That doesn't matter. All of Yerushalayim has a lower level of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. So you look for that. And then it's balalach derech artzon. If a person is davening in Chutz L'Eretz, he doesn't have to face where Beis HaMikdash is. If he faces Eretz Yisrael, that's enough, because all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedusha HaMikdash. And when you face Eretz Yisrael, it's balalach derech artzon. That's considered as if you're davening facing the Beis HaMikdash. All of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedusha HaMikdash. Yeah, the Gemara has the Medrash has a loshen. Medrash has a loshen that kol hakovur be'eretz Yisrael ki lekovur tachas hamizbeach. One who's buried in Eretz Yisrael gets a mechilas avinus. The Gemara comments on the concluding posik in Hazina. V'chiper admosai amar. So the Pashup Pshat in Bechipat Masa Amma is that it, Rashi points out the Chumash. The Pashup Pshat in the Pasuk is, it says there'll be a terrible Holocaust because the Jews are not living up to the mitzvahs, and people will be asking, where was God when all of this was happening? And then after this terrible Holocaust will be over, then it says, V'chiper ad masayama. So Rashi says, the Pshut Hashemek, V'chiper means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease his land, Eretz Yisrael will become back functional as part of a Jewish land, V'chiper amay, God will appease the Jewish people, bring mafais the Jewish people. That's what happened after the Muhammad, after the Second World War. Everybody was asking, where was God when all of this was happening? And then V'chiper ad masayama, Eretz Yisrael was declared, was recognized by the United Nations as a Jewish nation, Jewish country, and then the Jewish people were revived. There was people remarried and they had children and everybody made a parnas, and the people who came penniless to America came penniless to Eretz Yisrael. They built up, miraculously built up a Medina, what they built up in just in 70 years. So that's the Pasha Pshat in the Pasha. Then Rashi quotes from the Gemara. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. The Chipa Ad Masai Amai. That when a person walks around in Eretz Yisrael, one who walks Dalai Lama's in Eretz Yisrael, gets a Mechilas Abadis, gets a Kapora. The Chipa Ad Masai Amai. Walking in Eretz Yisrael gives a Kapora. Being buried in Eretz Yisrael gives one a kapara. The Gemara says, "Ein adayim kol tosa lachamisa v'kol tosa mechaim." People come while they're alive, and they do something in Eretz. They live here in Eretz Yisrael. That's a real mechilas avinus. And if a person is buried in Eretz Yisrael, that's a lower level, less kapara. But the Medrash has such an expression that kol hakova b'Eretz Yisrael kilu kova tachas hamizbeach. That just like the mizbeach is mechaper, so too chiper ad masa yamay. So you see, they're equating all of Eretz Yisrael has, in a certain sense, a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. But the Yerushalayim, for sure, Yerushalayim is the Makam HaMikdash, so all of Yerushalayim has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. So these are really the two aspects of Yerushalayim. One is Mikdash Melech, it has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. And the other one is that it's the Ir HaBir, it's officially the capital of Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk in Koheles reads, "Ashrei cheret shemalkech ben chorin, eila cheret shemalkech eved." Woe is unto the country whose king is a slave. And it's the praises of the country. "Ashrei cheret shemalkech ben chorin." The king is a free man. A very strange expression. So the Zohar has a comment on that pasuk. "Ashrei cheret." It's the praises of Eretz Yisrael shemalkech ben chorin. That the king of Eretz Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one who gives freedom to mankind. What do you mean he gives freedom? So he declares that in Eved Ivri goes free when it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. That's what it means. Or Eilecha Ben Chorin Mishayisik Batara. But somehow Ben Chorin is a reference to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what do you mean the Ribbono Shel Olam is the Melech? Yerushalayim is officially the capital of Eretz Yisrael. And the official king is really the Ribbono Shel Olam is the king. That's what the Neturi Karta have as their national anthem. Instead of singing Hatikva, so they sing Hashem Hu Malkeinu V'loi Anachnu Avadim. A maskim Hashem Hu Malkeinu. That's what the halacha says. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the king, and the capital of the country is Yerushalayim. And the Navi Yirmiyah refers to Yerushalayim as Kisi Hashem. That's where the throne of HaKadosh Baruch is supposed to be. The real king is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chazal have a comment on the pasuk at the end of Parshas Bishalach, at the conclusion of the Maisa Amalek, so it says Ki Yod Al Keis Ko Melchom Al Hashem Amalek Midor Dor. So Rashi quotes from the Mechilta, why does it say Keis Ko? Why doesn't it say Kisa Yud Kei Vav Kei? So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim that calls man that Amalek Ba'olam Ein Hashem Shalom Ein HaKisa Shalom. You don't have Yud Kei Vav Kei, you only have Ko, and you don't have Kisa, you have Keis Ko. God swears by his throat. What does it mean, Kol Zman Sh'Amalek Kayim? So Rav Soloveitchik thought that Poshep Pshat was, Kol Zman Sh'Amalek Kayim, Amalek represents the problem of evil, when you have Tzadik V'Ralo, Rosh V'Tovlo. So it's a big problem. How come there's so many tragedies in the world? How come there's so... It looks as if the God who created the world, the one who made Teva, is not the same God who instituted the moral, ethical, and the religious principles. How come there's so many contradictions? You have people that tzaddikim, more or less, ethical, religious, and they suffer. You have people who violate that, and they prosper. So a simple answer would be that there's more than one God. But we don't accept that answer. Another answer would be, the Baruch Shalom does know what's happening in the world. We don't accept that answer either. A simple answer would be that he doesn't care. That's not true. He does care. He's a good God. He does care. And he knows what's happening. And he created the whole world that he has control, full control. And he still doesn't do anything about it. He has full control still. So it's like a murder is kasha. How does he allow this to happen? So that's what the Chazal say that in Parshas Pinchas. And yesterday said in Parshas Pinchas, on all the Yom Tovim, you bring a chatas. When you bring the Musafim, on Shabbos there's no chatas. On the Yom Tovim and Rosh Chodesh, you bring a chatas. That's what Rav Soloveitchik interpreted. He say on Yom Tov, "Atitnu L'Hashem Elokeinu b'Yavas Yom Chag HaMatzos Hazeh." Then if it's Chalias b'Shabbos, they say b'Yahava Mikra Kodesh. Why do you say a tzveitmol b'Yahava? Why do you say a second time? So the Avodrom says, because all the mitzvahs were given b'Yahava. The Rebbeinu Shalom loves Kalal Yisrael, but it wasn't 100% b'Yahava because it was Kafa Aleim Har Kegigas. He forced it down our throats. But Shabbos was given Kodem, not in Torah. Shabbos was given Bemora. It's Tavol on Shabbos. So when the moon came down, they were given the mitzvah of Shabbos. So that was not Kavaleim Harki Gigas. So that's B'Yahava square. And Yom Tovma B'Yahava, not double, because it was Kavaleim Harki Gigas. The whole Torah was Kavaleim Harki Gigas. So that's what the Avodram says. Rav Soloveitchik, I don't know where he got it from, he had a different suggestion. He said that every Yontif, the Rebbeinu Shalom expresses his love for the Jewish people, but at every Yontif, he waves his finger at us and he says, don't forget, Kindalach, you did Averis and you need a Chatas. So when we bring the Musafim, every Yontif, every Chol Hamoed, every Rosh Chodesh, you have to have a sort of Chatas. On Shabbos, there's no Chatas. The Musafim are only Shnei Kvosim and Shanatvim, and you have only Oilus, there's no Chatas at all. So he thought that's the Pshat, the Yahva, why it's the Yahva square. So the... So the pasuk says, "Kiyor al keiska Kadosh Baruch Hu swears by his throne that he's going to wipe out Amalek." So what does it mean? Calls Bansha Amalek Boilam. As long as you have the problem of evil, so it looks as if the Rebbeinu Shalom is not in full control. Ein Akisa Shalom. Kisa Shalom means he's a king, and the king has full control of everything that's happening in his country, and the Rebbeinu Shalom is the Melech over the whole world. And the Melech Olam looks as if he's not in full control. We don't understand why. So the Chazal have a comment, by every Soy Lachatas that you bring on every Yontif, it says Soy Lachatas. On Rosh Chodesh it says Soy Chatas Lashem. Chatas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara understands Chatas Lashem. The Rebbeinu Shalom needs a kapar. Haviu alai kapar al sheniatati yasayareh. The Rebbeinu Shalom is clapping al chet. He did an avla. What do you mean? The Mir Talvana. What do we say over? What does it mean? When we say Kiddush Levana, so from all the problems in the world that there are to worry about, there's poverty and there's sickness and there's war and people are killing each other, the whole world is ready to fall to pieces. When we say Kiddush Levana, the Jews are only worried about the Mir Talvana. What about the real problems in the world? So Rav Soloveitchik said that in Kabbalah writings, Mir Talvana means this problem of evil. This problem of Amalek, that you have Tzadik V'Ra'alav Rosh HaVitovah, the contradiction. How could it be that if God knows everything that's happening, and he has full control, and there's only one God, and he is a good God, so why does he allow all these tragedies to occur? So the Rebbeinu Shlom says he can't explain it to us. After all of history will be unfolded, we'll recognize, we'll realize, that call my David Rahman al-Tavavid. But as things are developing now, that's not our perception. Our perception is that there are so many tragedies. The Gemara says you have to recite the Nusach HaBrocha corresponding to your perception. The Gemara says in Pesachim, Boilam Azeh, we sometimes recite a Brocha, Brocha Teba Meitiv, and sometimes Baruch Dayin HaEmes. The perception is sometimes things are tragedies. The Mishnah says in Brochas, Kishem Shem Mevorcham Ala Teba Kach Mevorcham Ala Ro. What do you mean, Kishem Shem Mevorcham? The Gemara says, not the same Brocha. But he said, Kishem, just like he said, Bar Pe Adam and potatoes, so to say, Asher Yotze, when you come out of the bathroom. What does one got to do with the other? How do you say, Kishem? He said, Baruch Dayinu Emes, he said, Baruch HaTev HaMeitiv. How do you say, Kishem, Shem Mevorchem, Allah Tev HaKach, Mevorchem, Allah Ro? So the Gemara says that Kishem means, he's Chayev, he has to say, Baruch Dayinu Emes, and a tragedy has to be Mekabel B'Simcha. What do you mean, Mekabel b'simcha? So on Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes the Rabbeinu Yoina, and that Gemara Brachas, that we're supposed to have a muna called Maido Avid Rachmana Letav Avid, but the perception is that it's a tragedy. So he's supposed to recite the Bracha Baruch Da'ino Emes with a muna that it's really the Toiv. Then the Gemara said, that's Boilam Azeh. Sometimes the perception is that it's a tragedy, but we're supposed to have a muna that is not a tragedy. Losid Lovin, Imos HaMashiach, the Gemara says, we'll never say the Bracha Baruch Da'ino Emes. The perception will be that everything is L'Toiv. But Boilam Azeh, there's still a problem of evil. The perception is that a lot of things are tragedies. So the Nusach HaBracha has to be recited according to the perception. And you're supposed to have a muna that it's really L'Toiv. After all of history will unfold, then we'll see. Gloy Muslim after everything was really L'Toiv. But right now it looks like it's really L'Roi. So that's what we say. The Kozban Shamalik Ba'olam Ein Akisei Shalom means the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu means is he in full control, like a king is in full control. It looks as if Kivayochel is not in control. So that's called Ein Akisei Shalom. What does it mean? Ein Hashem Shalom Yudkei Vavkei. Rav Soloveitchik said from his father. What do you mean? The Rambam writes that Yudkei is Miktsas Men Hashem HaMeforish. It's part of the Shem Yudkei Vavkei. Which part is it? So the Minchas Chinuch has a certain he'ara based on his assumption that Ko, Kibuko Hashem Tzonot Ko, is the first two letters of Yudkei Vavkei. So Rav Soloveitchik said his father held it's not the first two letters. The Yud is the first letter and the He is the last letter, and you're missing the middle two letters, the He and the Vav in the middle. What does it mean? He said in Hebrew, whenever you want to say Loshen Asid, so Hu Ya'aseh, Hu Yelech, Hu Yechtov, Hu Yekabel, you put a Yud in the beginning to mean Asid. And Hu Asa usually end off with a He, that's past tense. So the Yud and Yudke Vavke, Yudke Vavke means Hoye Hoye Vavke, which order? So he said, Ramosha Soloveitchik thought the Yud is Hoye, the Yud is Asid, the Yud represents Asid, what's going to be, the last He is Ovar, and the middle, Hey Vav, in the middle, Yudke Vavke, that's Hoye, Hey Vav is Hoye. So what's missing is the middle Hey Vav. We don't see the Ribbono Shel Olam running the world now. We believe that in the future he will run the whole world. Lasid Lava, that's the Yud of Kor. And we believe in the past he was running the world. But Boilam Azeh, the thing that's missing is the Hoyva is missing. That's where the same thing is saying, the Ein Akisei Shalom, as if the Ribbono Shel Olam's Malchus is incomplete Kivayochel. So the Tzlach in the end of Maseches Brachas has a comment. One of my children got married in Yerushalayim. So the minig is that when you write a ksuba, when chalila you write a get, so you write Yerushalayim chosa yud, yud resh vav shin lamed mem, Yerushalayim. You leave out the yud in the end. They point out that the name Yerushalayim appears in Tanakh over 650 times, about 660 times, something like that. And it's only written once, mole. Why is the shame Yerushalayim always chosa? And the minig is they get poshut. Right, the Poshut is a sefer on Hilchos Gittin that the Pesachim Tshuva always quotes from. It's somebody from the Ibn Chabib family, Moshe Ibn Chabib. So he writes that the minig is that write Yerushalayim Chasa. Why is it Chasa? So the Tzlach says because Yerushalayim is Kisi Hashem, and Kozban that Amalek Boilam Eina Kisi Shalom. So since Eina Kisi Shalom, so Yerushalayim is supposed to be Chasa. Lasid Lavoi, when it'll be the one Pesach in Tanakh, in Tehillim, where Yerushalayim is spelled Mole, is when it's talking about Lasi Lavai. Lasi Lavai, the Kisei will be Shalom. It'll be obvious to everybody in the world that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in full control of everything. But Ba'olam Hazeh calls Mansha Molek Ba'olam, so the Kisei is not Shalom. The perception is as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is not in full control. So since Yerushalayim is officially, Ribbono Shel Olam is Hashem Hu Malkeinu, Ribbono Shel Olam is officially the Melech of Eretz Yisrael, and the official Ir Abir is Yerushalayim. So it's Eina Kisei Shalom, so that's why it should be Yerushalayim Choser. Yerushalayim is Choser. It's interesting. The Midrashim say that one who does Averis and Eretz Yisrael is like Morib and Malchus in the presence of the king. All of Eretz Yisrael is Palp and Shanelech. And if one is Morib and Malchus, let's say you burn the American flag in front of the White House. I think in America it's not Averis. They came up. So this, I think the Supreme Court paskin is in Ishkenah there. But a normal person would assume that that's Marmash Marib Malchus. You burn the American flag, Marib Malchus. So one that does an Aveir in Eretz Yisrael, that's Paltan Shamelech, that's a bigger Aveir. That's what the Avnei Nezer has, a long tshuva in Chelik Yeridei, Chelik Beis, the Avodah Zarah was a Chassidish Rebbe, so they asked him, is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh? And in Pinsulamit that there is a mitzvah, how come the Gedolei Chassidus didn't go move to Eretz Yisrael? So he has a long tshuva, very beautiful tshuva. All of his tshuvas are beautiful. So he explains, of course, there's a mitzvah b'zman hazeh, and explains why the Gedolei Chassidus didn't go. So he says, the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is if you're going to accomplish something, a guy's going to make highways. He's going to be teaching Torah. He's going to be in charge of security. He's going to develop some high-tech something. He's going to do something to improve the Medina. He's going to do something. In the days of the Gedolei Chassidus, the Avnei Nezer died 100 years ago. In the days of the Gedolei Chassidus, they could come to Eretz Yisrael, they would be supported by their Balabatim or live in the Chutz Lords, but they wouldn't have any hashpa on anybody in Eretz Yisrael. So the Kiyum HaMitzvah would be very incomplete. They would be living in Eretz Yisrael. They would be yeshiva of Eretz Yisrael, but it's not really Yishuv HaAretz. Yishuv HaAretz means if you're improving something, you're doing something to improve the community or the life in Eretz Yisrael or something. So he has, what the Gemara tells the story, one of the Amaroim didn't move to Eretz Yisrael until he had a dream. He saw Se'orim. If you see barley in a dream, so you know that Avon Aisab Mechulim, because the Pasuk says, Se'orim haroi Se'orim, Sarav Anchele, V'chatoscha Techuper, Se'orim is Maloshin, an indication that your sins are forgiven. So he only went to Eretz Yisrael when he realized his sins were forgiven. What's the connection? So Avon Aisab explains, you're going to move to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to do the same Averis in Eretz Yisrael that did in Chutz Lord. So that's worse. You're married with Malchus and the Paltan Shamelach, the Medrash says, so that's worse. So when he had the dream that his Averis were forgiven, that he's a tzaddik, so then it made sense to move to Eretz Yisrael. They just had this parade in Yerushalayim. Wow, Yerushalayim is mamish the Paltan Shamelach. That's mamish the Ir Abira. And I had on the radio that the father of the girl who was killed last year in the parade, so he said, he's all in favor of this parade. We don't go for all these old fogey, this old stuff from ancient century. Mamash chiyuv v'gituv. He doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in Torah min hashamayim, doesn't believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam who created the world, who created man, prohibited these ta'evas. The whole parade brought out such chiyuv v'gituv. It's unbelievable. They say that the reason why they had so many more people in the parade is because the newspapers kept on tumbling about what one of the rabbanim said at the kenes. I was there at the kenes. I spoke also at the kenes. There were only rabbanim there. What's the matter? You're not allowed to say anything. This rabbi who spoke, what was his name?
Levinstein.
He spoke for 40 minutes or so. And he was talking about what's happening in the army. And every minute he was shooting another thing, another thing, another thing. He didn't repeat anything twice. He kept on saying 40 different things. So B'toch HaDvarim, he was talking about this also. But you would think as if the whole talk was about how the people are destroying the morale in the army. They're changing the whole nature of the Medina now. There's a whole push now to change the whole, that it shouldn't be a Jewish Medina. It's terrible. One of the earliest speakers, I was one of the last speakers there, that this kenes went on for a few hours. So one of the early speakers was Rabbi Eliyahu from Tzfat. So he said that they always attack him in the newspapers. And he said, he's not saying anything extreme. He's just saying over what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So when I got up, I said, I have the honor of also being attacked by the newspapers in America. But instead of being attacked by the Chilonim, by the Reform and the Conservative, I'm attacked by the Open Orthodox. They always take something that I said totally out of context, and then they blow it out of proportion. So that's what they're doing now. And I said, they took this guy, this rabbi. He gave a very good talk. He was raising all the issues, the way they're trying to destroy the whole morale in the army. He said they have a Palestinian present his case to the soldiers in the army. Then they have the soldiers discuss who's right, Ashita or the Palestinians. So half of the soldiers think the Palestinians are right. So he said, when I was in the army, he's an older person. So when I was in the army, we were convinced that this is our country and we have the right to it, and we used to shoot, we used to fight with conviction. He says, now the soldiers don't have conviction. See, you're destroying the whole army. You're destroying the whole morale in the army. And he was explaining that they have Fruma soldiers, and because the woman in charge of education for the soldiers belongs to the Reform movement, her husband is a Reform rabbi or something, so that's why they show them dirty movies. Why do they show them dirty movies? Because they have to know what's outside in the world. You tell them what's outside in the world. You have to show them the movies. They're just trying to break down the whole semblance of the Jewish nature, of the army Jewish nature of the whole Medina. It's very unfortunate. I remember on one occasion when I was attacked by the people in America in the press. Dr. Lang called me into the office and he said, I shouldn't be in a spoil from the Shkotzim. Kulam asidim leitin asadin. Same over here. This is terrible. The media, they take everything totally out of proportion. Every time Rabbi Leo says anything, he's a sweetie pie. My oldest grandson learns in Elon Moreh. So I wanted to meet this extreme lunatic, the one who runs the yeshiva. I met him. Such a sweet man. Unbelievable. What did they demonize him? In the American newspapers, they demonize him. Unbelievable. Such a sweet man. They say he's beloved by everybody. They have Rabbonim, Tzadikim, Ahuvim, Kulam Ahuvim, Kulam Nechmodim, and the press attack, the media always attacks. It's a terrible thing. This Mamish, Mori B'malchus, but Paltan Shel Melech. It's a terrible thing. In Zechariah and Treyasa, we read the way the Balabatim, they just built the second Beis HaMikdash, so the Balabatim sent the Shaila to the Nevim, to the prophets in the Beis HaMikdash, who should we still observe Tisha B'Av, like we observed for the last 70 years. They observed Tisha B'Av on their own, they volunteered on their own, it was a minhag. Ha'efka b'chodesh ha'chamishi hinozu, should I still cry on Tisha B'Av b'chodesh ha'chamishi hinozu, like we observed for so many years. So the Navi gives an answer that we can't understand. The Navi says, Tzom Raviv, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom Raviv Yishevah Zepetamez, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom Tisha, Tzom HaSiri, Tzom HaShvi, Yil Esos and the Simcha LeBeis Yisrael. It's the first correlate tzon. He calls it a tana, so it sounds like he's endorsing you have to fast. Until then, it was only a minute. And then the Navi declares, Tzom Raviv, Tzom HaChamishi, it's a chiyum in the Kabbalah. The Navi says, you have to fast. Then he says, Yil Esos and the Simcha LeBeis Yisrael, be a yantav, you're not allowed to fast. And then he continues to say, did you ask me, are you listening to me? The Rabban Shalom says, you're listening to me about fasting on Tisha B'Av and Asar Shavuos B'Tammuz. You're not listening to what I told you to observe Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpach. I told you to observe Shiluach HaVodim. You're not listening to me. That's why I had to be Machri in the Beis HaMikdash and I had to send you into Golus. So do whatever you don't please. You're not listening to me anyway. Do whatever you want. So the Gemara says it's a three-way steerer. What did the Navi say? First, it correlates on me. He says he just endorsed the Tanis. It became a chiyum in divrei Kabbalah. It used to be just a meaning, now it became a chiyum in divrei Kabbalah. And then he says, Yiril Asas and Simcha, you're not allowed to fast. Then he says, do whatever you want. Ratzim Misan, Ratzim Misan. So we don't upshot in the Novi. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah has a whole sugi. The Gemara explains that there are three chiluk yedinim. The Bizman, the way the Ramam knows, the Bizman, there's no Beis HaMikdash, and there's Xeris Hashmat, open anti-Semitism, openly harassing, killing the Jews, the pogroms. So then you mechuyif to fast from divrei Kabbalah. And then the Ramban writes in Torah Adam, when he has all Hilchas Avilas, then it's Leila Kiyomo, then you have to fast Shavuos B'Tammuz 24 hours, and all the Chamisha Yinuim. And Bizman that there is a Beis HaMikdash, then it's peaceful, then you celebrate, then it's Yil Esos and the Simcha. Bizman, there's no Beis HaMikdash, but there's no pogroms against the Jewish people, then it's optional. Ratzim Misanim, Ratzim Misanim. So Bizman is Amikre Adin, it's only it's optional. And then Tesis quotes from the Halachas Gedolos, Kvashav Yu Alay Chayva. The meaning is that we fast on all of these Tanes. Except for Tisha B'Av, the Gemara said Tisha B'Av is different because Huchpul Abo Hatzoras, because the Churban Beis HaMikdash occurred twice and that's so Chomer. So there it doesn't depend on Ratzim Misanim, Ratzim Misanim. So Rav Soloveitchik, I was told that Rav Soloveitchik had a comment on this, that the Balabatim, his mistake was that they sent the Shaila to the Nevi'im. He's supposed to send the Shaila to the Rabbanim, not supposed to send the Shaila to the Nevi'im. The Pasuk says in Zechariah, they sent the Shaila to the Nevi'im. So the Navi gave such a vague answer that nobody knows Pshat. So they had a but Gadaft Onkumin said the Rabbanim, so at the end of the day, the Gemara had explained what the Nevi'im said. So the Shaila was finally, it was addressed to the proper address. It was sent to the Chachmei HaGemara. So they gave Pshat in the Navi. So the Psak was given by the Chachamim and the Gemara. So these are the three Chiluki Dinim. We assume today that Shavuos B'Tammuz is, strictly speaking, Ratzim Misanim, Ratzim Misanim. It's only Kvar Shaviyu Alay Echayva. So the Marshal, one of the great Gedolim, Rabbi Yossel Leslutzker, he learned in Valozhin. He was on the board of Valozhin. they had the board of Alojan Yeshiva consisted of alumni who were big rabbanim in the big city. So whenever there was an issue, they had an issue with machlokes who should be the Rosh Yeshiva. Some of the Talmidim wanted the Netziv to be Rosh Yeshiva, some wanted the Beis HaLevi, or when they appointed, when the Netziv appointed Rab Chaim Valojan, Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, as Rosh Yeshiva and Valojan. So Rab Chaim Soloveitchik married the granddaughter of the Netziv. So they said that people were telling that it's nepotism, that Rab Chaim didn't deserve to be a Magid Shir, he shouldn't be a Rosh Yeshiva and Valojan. So the board came, and they said, the board, the learned people, big Rabbanim, he was one of them, he was on the board. Rabbi Yossel Slutka was on the board of Valojan. He was involved, I think, both times when had both Dinei Torah, who should be the Rosh Yeshiva, and whether Rab Chaim Soloveitchik is right to be a Rosh Yeshiva and Valojan. So they had a manuscript of his tshuvas that lasted for so many years, and finally Machon Yerushalayim finally printed it. So every generation something else came up and they never printed it. He has, among his other tshuvas, he has this shaila: what if a person, let's say, is a fleshig for another couple of hours, and then by mistake he says shahakal and he has a cup of milk? So what should he do? Should he drink the milk? Says in violation of his fleshig, not supposed to have milk exam. Should he not drink the milk? So it'll come out that he just said a bracha levatol. He said a bracha, you don't eat the food. So there, many poskim discuss the shot. So they say, take a little sip of the milk. Why? Because waiting 6 hours is only a minig. The Gemara says it's a minig from the days of the Gemara. Waiting 6 hours is only a minig. And saying a bracha levatol is saying shahakol and not drinking anything. That's a real din. Bracha levatol is a more serious din. Either a din derabbanan or a din derais or whatever. That's a real serious din. So he has the tshuva. What about, by mistake, a person says, in the morning, says shahakal, and he's about to drink a cup of coffee, then he realizes, tereshav asa b'tamah, should he take a little sip, or should he not? So he says the same thing. He says that fasting on shavasa b'tamah is really, strictly speaking, is ratza musana, ratza imusana, is just kvashav yu alai chayda. It's a minute today that we fast. But it's only a minute. Masheni came saying, abrocha lo atola, that's a real thing. So he thinks that in such a situation, you shouldn't say shakli. You should keep in mind that today is a tonus. But if by mistake a person says a bracha on food, then he realizes it's a tonus, he should have a little bit of a nibble, that it shouldn't be a bracha levatolim. Because that is the lesser of the two evils. We don't always say, sometimes when we're faced with a dilemma and all the alternatives are no good, so sometimes you say, shev al tas odif. It's better to violate the aver b'shev al tas than to violate the kum v'yaseh. Here the Sheva Tasa would say, he said a bracha, now he doesn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So rather than eat, violate the tonis, become me asay, violate bracha levatol, b'sheva tasa, by not saying a bracha. So that's not always the determining consideration. That's one of the considerations. There's a whole sugya in Erevin, Daf Kuf, but the Gemara quotes the Mishnah in Zvachim. You have dam from a korban. Some korbanos need one zvika, some korbanos need two zvikas. So the dam from a korban that needs two zrikas got mixed up together with the dam from a korban that needs one zrika. So if you do one zrika, you'll be in violation of Bal Tigra on the Matan Shtayim. If you do two zrikas, you'll be in violation of Bal Toysef on the Matan Achas. So it's Machlek Zablez and Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah, which should you do? So the Gemara quotes this in Erev and Daf Kuf in the context of another such dilemma, where whatever you're going to do is going to be a violation. So how do you determine which is the lesser of the two evils? So if there's more than two evils, let's say there are three alternatives, so how do you determine which is the least of all of the evils? So very often the decision will be Shev al Tasa Oref, to violate an Aver B'Shev al Tasa is less than to violate an Aver B'Kamase. But that's not always the determining factor. Sometimes the Kum Yaseh is the least of all of the evils. Like for many years, the Aguda never belonged to the government. They never joined the Israeli coalition government, because the government used to do all kinds of things, still does, all kinds of things that are terrible against halacha. So they felt, how can they join? So then after a long while, they decided they're going to join. So Rav Shach at that time, that was before Degel HaTorah, so Shach was involved in the Aguda. So at that time, Rav Moshe Shtenbrock was a young whippersnapper. And he said, how can Rav Shach say you should join the coalition government? The Gedolim said in the earlier generations, Yehor Gal Yavah, how can you join? So Shach felt very uncomfortable responding to Rav Moshe Shtenbrock. He's a young guy. He was in his 90s or something. I don't know. In his 70s, 80s, and Rav Moshe Shtenbrock was very young. So he sent a letter to Rav Shnia Kotler, who was a relative, explaining why he made that decision, and he told them they should hang the letter up all over in all yeshivas. So he was hanging in YU also. They decided YU was also yeshiva. So he was hanging in the Beis Medrash before the Gluck building was built in 301. So the letter, it was clearly Rav Shach's handwriting. He had a unique handwriting. So he wrote in the letter, Kibalna Mirab Hussein, we have a tradition that whenever faced with such a dilemma, you have to be Boicha B'miyo Tara'a. And you don't always say that Sheval Tasodif. You don't say that the Avera that's violated passively is always less Chomer than the Avera that's violated B'kumbi Yaseh. Over here, he decided that the Avera of joining the coalition is less than the Avera of staying out from the coalition. We get more accomplished this way than that. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said for the Mizrahi all along, for day number one. He encouraged them that they should join the coalition government, that they'll accomplish more than they will be in violation of. So after many years, Rav Shach decided that Rav Soloveitchik was right, that you don't always say Sheid Al Tasa'adif. So that was the letter that he wrote at that time. So so that's what Rav Yossel Aslutka has in this truth. That today, fasting on Shavuot B'tam is really only a minute. It's Ratzim Misan and Ratzim Misan. It's an interesting, it's a machlokes, the Mechaber and the Ramah. What does that mean? So the Mechaber writes, and many Svaradim still have the practice, that just like the Shabbos before Bahab, the Chazan says a Misha Berach. And he says, Baruch Shalom should give a bracha to all of those who are going to fast Sheni Machamisha B'Sheni. And everybody says, Amen. So those who plan to fast, say Amen, the Mekabal Nedatainas, to fast Sheni Machamisha B'Sheni. Those that most people do not plan to fast Sheni Machamisha B'Sheni, so they say, Amen, a blessing on the heads of those who are going to fast on Sheni Machamisha B'Sheni. So Mechaber writes that the same should be the Shabbos before Shavuot B'Tammuz, and the Shabbos before Asar B'Tevis, and so on. Tisha B'Av, the Gemara says, does not depend on Ratzim Masana, Ratzim Masana. That's a din. You have to fast for the forgetting about whether there's Beis HaMikdash or not. But Shavuot B'Tammuz, that depends on Ratzim Masana, Krashav Yolai Chayva. So the meaning is that we're Mekabel Tonis and Shul, and everybody says Amen. All the healthy people are supposed to have in mind that we're Mekabel Tonis. And the Ramah says our meaning is not so. We say Bahab, we say the Misha Berach, because that you have to mean Mekabel Tonis. You're not Mekabel Tonis, you're not Mechuyev. But here by Asar B'Tevis, Shavuot B'Tammuz, the meaning is that you're Mechuyev to fast. Not the meaning is you're Mekabel Tonis, the meaning is you're Mechuyev to fast. Mein afke minit, se medrei tahin, se medrei taher. What's the difference whether you say that the meaning is when Mekabel Tonis, or the meaning is that when Mechuyev to fast? So the Tosfos says in the second parak in Brachos on the Sugya Matemis, Ein Tzricha Brocha, if a person tastes food and he spits it out, he just wants to see whether he put in the right amount of salt in the soup or not, but he's not really going to swallow. That's how the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Tosfos Pshat. The Gemara says you don't need a bracha. So then the Gemara discusses, is it muta lita manatainis? That's a person has yahrzeit, he's fasting atainis. Is it permissible to be toyim the food and to spit it out? He's not going to swallow. Should I say when he took the net atainis, he was makabel tainis to fast? That's not included in the Neditainis. In the Nedi, go basa Lashem Eliyadam. So Lashem Eliyadam doesn't include Te'ima, only includes Achid Ashtiyah. Or should I say no, that even Te'ima is also. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, Achid Ashtiyah Kabbal Alei, Te'ima Alei Kabbal Alei, Midom Halacha Achal Lashem Eliyadam, and that's not included. So Tosfos on that Gemara quotes from the Rabbeinu Hananel, that's only on a tainus that you're mekabel. So we're analyzing what's included in your Kabbalah. Achilish de Kabbalah lay, binadorm halacha achaloshim liyanim. He only intended to be mekabel. Isa achilish de never intended to be mekabel and isa te'ima. But if it's tainus aksuvim, if it's a tainus that's written in Tanakh and you have to fast, it's in Zechariah that you have to fast. So that, it doesn't depend what you have in mind. So then te'ima would be awesome. So that's the Shiloh over here. So there's a machlek, a machaber and ramah. She tells him over here. The machaber holds that on Shavuot B'Tammuz and some Gedalia, you have to have a Kabbalah satanis. Kfar Shavir Alai Chayva means that the meaning is that we're all Mekabal Tainis in advance. So those who have to, healthy people who fast on Shavuot B'Tammuz, because they're Mekabal Tainis on Shabbos before that, they're going to fast. So then machaber the Shitosa writes that Te'ima is Mutter on Shavuot B'Tammuz and on Sarah B'Tabas. The ramah, the Shitosa holds that's not so. You don't have to mean Mekabal Tainis. The meaning is Mechaivas to fast. So it doesn't depend on what you had in mind. B'nedarm halacha achalash mani adam, that the ima is not included. That's if you are Mekabal Tainis. Here we learn the Kabbalah Tainis, the halacha, it's a chiv mitaminik that you have to fast. So even tima would also be awesome. That's the shot. Let's say, is a person allowed to rinse out his mouth with water? He's not going to drink any of the water. He's just going to rinse his mouth. He's going to brush his teeth, rinse his mouth, and spit everything out. So according to the Mechaber, it's mutter, because tima is mutter on Shavuos v'Tammuz. According to the Ramah, Ramah paskins tima is awesome. I don't know, there's a Aruch HaShulchan says about rinsing your mouth is mutter. I thought it's against the Ramah. I thought it's the Feresh against the Ramah. A lot of strange Aruch HaShulchan. So I don't know.
Maybe toothpaste is not considered
ochel. Toothpaste, I can understand, but he talks about just, he didn't have any toothpaste. He just talks about rinsing your mouth out with water. So how is it mutter? He says, Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, it's us and the other Tanaisim is mutter. How did it? That's exactly what Tehima is. That's machlokes and mechaber the Ramah, the
Shittasim. Because water doesn't have a tongue. Water doesn't really have a tongue.
No, but if you drink it, it's a gzeri. You're not allowed to taste anything, a gzeri that you may swallow it. So if it depends on your Kabbalah's tainus, I never accepted that. Achidish ti Kabbalah tima la Kabbalah. But if you drink a revius of water, then it is called shtia. So to rinse your mouth with a little bit should also be awesome. I don't know. I thought that was problematic. Mechaber writes in Hilchas Tisha B'Av that a chol shein b'sakon is permitted to eat on Tisha B'Av. So the Taz has a whole attack against the Mechaber. Mechaber is quoting the Ramban in the Torah Sodom. So the Taz has a whole attack. He says that there's a Hagos Maimini quotes a Rabbein Tam who talks about a chol shein b'sakon fasting on some Gedalia. So Rabbi Natam said that if it would have been a chiyuv b'divrei Kabbalah, a chiyuv b'divrei Kabbalah means that the Novi was mechayev us to fast. If Tzom Gedalia would still be a chiyuv b'divrei Kabbalah, then the only hatat to eat would be achol sheyesh b'sakana. Because divrei Kabbalah k'divrei Torah Damyan, just like on Yom Kippur is the Raisa, only achol sheyesh sofik sakana is allowed to eat, so Tzom Gedalia should be the same. But the Rabbeinu Tam says that b'zman hazeh, some gedalia depends ratz mesanim ratz ein mesanim. Some mikra din you don't have to fast. Kvasho you alai chayv, it's only a minig, but it's not medivri kabbalah. So then, so the Rabbeinu Tam is make alachol l'shem b'sakan is permitted to eat on some gedalia. So the Taz Titus, but the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that analysis, the three chaduk adinim, that b'zman hazeh it's ratz mesanim ratz ein mesanim. It's just kvasho you alai chayv, like the Bahak says. That's only on the Shartanesim. But on Tisha B'Av, the Gemara says you don't have such an option. So Tisha B'Av is manas as still midivri kabbalah. Since it's still midivri kabbalah, so the only had to eat would be like on Yom Kippur, Chodesh Yesh B'Sakan. That's a Taz's title. So the Avdei Nezer has a tshuva where he's meyashev. He says, we paskin like the Mechaber. He says the Taz didn't have the Rashbo on Rosh Hashanah because it wasn't printed yet. Even if it would have been printed, the Taz was a very poor man. He hardly had any svar. When you learn Shulchan Aruch, you see, the Shach always quotes, boom, boom, boom. Shach is always quoting. No one ever knows how he read so many Svarim and said he died at such a young age. How did he have those Svarim? How did he have all those? And the Maharaj Dam and the Marshach and the Marchash and the Marshach. We never heard of these people. He's always quoting these Achrayim. I'm almost twice the age of the Shach and I still never looked in these Svarim. The Shach knew everything. And the Taz has nothing. The Taz just has a tour and a base. Yosef and a Gemara with a Tashnus. He didn't have any Svarim. Anyway, so Avdei Nezer says that the Rashbo and Rosh Hashanah was not yet printed during the lifetime of the Taz. And the Rashbo says in that Gemara that in the Novi, in Zechariah, all the Yemei Tainus are put together. Tzomar Aviv, Tzomar Hamishav, Tzomar Shvi, Tzomar Asiri. They're all the same. The Gemara singles out Tisha B'Av is Mochamad and the others. That's only Midirabon. That's not Midirik Abon. So he says the Taz is wrong. The Tisha B'Av Zman Hazeh is not Medivri Kabbalah, it's only Medir Rabbanan, and therefore Chodesh Shein B'Sakan is permitted to eat. Somebody published the notes from Rabbi Soloveitchik's comments on the Kinnis. So they wrote in the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik, I only read the first five pages. So they wrote the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik that Chodesh Shein B'Sakan is not allowed to eat on Tisha B'Av. I don't think Rabbi Soloveitchik said that halacha l'maisa. Maybe he was giving a pilpul or something. I don't think he's going to paskin against the Shulchan Aruch. I'm not even going to bother to ask people if they remember. There ain't no such thing. Nobody paskins like that does. Nobody paskins. Chodesh Shein B'Sakan is not allowed to eat on Tisha B'Av. In the Torah Zazach. Everybody knows that Tisha B'Av is not Medivri Kabbalah. It's only Medir Rabbanon. We said this morning in the Slichas, we hope and pray that the Nevuah of Zechariah should be fulfilled, that the Tzom Harevi should be converted, L'sos and L'simcha, L'ano L'chol Beis Yisrael. There's so much to celebrate now. We see the Geula is coming little by little, but you have to be blind to deny it. You have to be blind not to see what's happening here in Eretz Yisrael. Poor Jews came from Europe, they were half dead. They had no money, they had no education, they had nothing. And they built up a Medina, Kemat Yesh Me'ayin, Kemat Yesh Me'ayin. The whole thing was Mamish Min HaShemayim. And now they're the high tech and everything, and the advancement in medicine and everything. The whole world is learning from Eretz Yisrael. It's unbelievable. We just hope and pray that we should all be zeichet to see the day that all the Tanaisim should be converted to Yimei Sasa V'Simcha Lanu L'Chol Yisrael.
Amen. Yeah.